This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Dead America. The Seattle Incursion Part 1 by Derek Slayton. Chapter 1. Day 0 plus 68. 30 miles south of the Seattle train yard. Just before dawn, Church stepped out onto the back stoop of the last train car in the line, the cool pre-dawn air hitting him in the face. He stood there for a long moment, letting it wash over him. The sudden jolt of cold was invigorating, awakening every sense in his body. "That's nice," Church said to himself. "I'm still going to need some coffee to get through the day, but that's a great way to start it." Church stood there for a few more moments until he took notice of floodlights illuminating the area beside the train. He poked his head out from around the corner, looking down the line and seeing a dozen lights clicking on from the top of the cars. He scanned the area just to the side, seeing some movement in the field. A handful of zombies shambled towards the light, but posed no threat to the militia on board. Church heard footsteps above him, joined by some murmuring. With a sigh, he climbed over the railing and grabbed onto a ladder affixed to the side of his car. As he ascended, he saw a couple dozen militiamen stretched out along the entire length of the train, positioned on top of the cattle cars filled with soldiers. Lying at each group's feet were three figures with their arms and legs bound behind their backs, bags over their heads. Despite no chance at escape, the people on the ground struggled against their restraints. Church reached the top of his train car, taking a moment to look out over the landscape. While it was mostly fields directly around the tracks, the faint outlines of buildings were visible. As he stared into the distance, the first signs of sunlight were beginning to form on the horizon. "Well, it looks like it's about that time," Church said aloud. Church walked with purpose across the top of his train car, gently hopping over the gap to the cattle car next to his. As he approached the hole in the roof, the two militiamen turned and greeted him. "Good morning, sir," one of the militiamen said. "Please call me Church," he replied. "I'm a lot of things, but formal ain't one of them." "Of course, Church. Sleep well?" the militiaman asked. "I caught a couple of hours, but to be honest, the excitement of the day was too much for my mind to overcome. Thank God for coffee and prescription drugs, am I right? I'm going to be wired." "I'm glad to hear it. The rest of the men feel the same way, and we're ready to get going when you are. You're a man cutting straight to the point. Nothing wrong with that. Let's get to it then." Church motioned for the militiaman to open up the makeshift hatch on the top of the car. The two men lifted it up, allowing the heavy metal lid to slam onto the car, startling the packed crowd below. Church clicked on a flashlight, shining it into the space below. The soldiers below tried to raise their hands to block the light, but they were so tightly packed together it was difficult for any of them to move enough to free their arms. "Well, good morning down there," Church called out. "First off, before we go any further, allow me to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your service to this country." Church paused for a moment before continuing. "Okay, now that we have that out of the way, I would like to formally apologize for the cramped quarters. But you have my word that your discomfort will be over soon." Church stepped back from the hole before darting back. "And as a final parting thought, I would like to thank you for your sacrifice to our cause. I promise that it will not be in vain." The soldiers inside began to yell out in terror as Church stepped back, afraid of what was coming next. "Okay, start recruiting them," Church instructed. The two militiamen carefully dragged the first thrashing figure over to the hole, yanking off the bag over its head before shoving it halfway in. The soldiers below yelled out as they saw a hungry zombie a couple of yards above them. The militiaman used a knife to cut off the restraints before shoving it inside with the soldiers. Church clicked his flashlight back on, watching the creature land with a thud on the heads of the soldiers. The lack of space between them made it impossible for the zombie to reach the floor, so it stayed on top of them like a crowd surfer at a rock concert. It didn't take long for the zombie to find a fresh meal, latching onto the shoulder of a helpless victim. After watching the first soldier receive a fatal wound, Church clicked off his flashlight, coating the interior of the train car in darkness. "Go ahead and shove those two in as well. We need them ready to go in an hour," Church said. "You got it, Church. I'll let the others know to start it up," the militiaman replied. "That's my man. When they're ready to go, stop by my car, and I'll have a cup of coffee and a handful of pills for you. As a thank you." The militiaman nodded awkwardly, not exactly wanting the gift but too afraid to turn it down. Church turned and made his way back into the warmth of his train car, where a handful of militiamen were making preparations for their assault. Among them was Garrett, one of the leaders of the Deer Park militia. In the corner, secured to a chair, was Tatum. Despite the early hour, the militiaman was wide awake, his anger towards Church for the current situation preventing him from rest. "Okay, everybody, we're 1 hour until showtime. How are we looking?" Church asked. "The men are prepped and know what their jobs are. I have the drop points on the map here if you want to confirm them," Garrett replied. "I trust you, but since we have some time, and my friend over there doesn't look too chatty, we might as well go over it again." Rather than walk over to the map, Church made his way to Tatum. He grabbed onto the armrest of the heavy wooden chair and dragged it across the room. He positioned Tatum so that he had a clean look at the map, confusing Garrett. "Are you sure you want to let him hear the plan?" Garrett asked, concerned. Church snapped into his terrifying presence mode, speaking forcefully and without a hint of lightheartedness. "I do. Is that a problem, Garrett?" Despite being a seasoned combat vet and more than capable of handling himself, Garrett swallowed hard, immediately giving in to Church's demands. "No problem at all," Garrett answered. "Good. Then lay it out for us," Church commanded. Garrett pulled up the map of downtown Seattle, pointing to the southern portion of it and continuing to point as he spoke. "We're here, 30 miles south of their defensive line. Now there's a lot of suburbs and urban sprawl between here and there that's largely unprotected. Our sources said that the military did an initial sweep and some bombing runs to thin out the large mobs, but they only got a fraction of the zombie population. So it's basically a no man's land," Church summarized. "Pretty much. The military hasn't shown much interest in clearing it out either. They started clearing out some areas on the highway to Portland, but it was mostly abandoned once they realized we were out here," Garrett said. "That's good for us," Church noted. "It is. Now, this mission was last minute, so we haven't been able to set up safe houses. However, I coordinated with Ben to arrange transport from three different locations within 24 hours of the attack. The men have all been briefed on them and know that if they don't reach it in time, then they're hiking back to civilization." "Tell me about the attack," Church requested. Garrett nodded and focused his attention on the defensive line to their north. "Spokane has been dark for several hours now, however, since it was overnight, they might not have noticed yet. Regardless, we're going to be ready for war when we hit their lines. We know that they don't have a lot of ammunition, but if they're smart, they will have some defenses on the rail." "I think you're giving them too much credit, Garrett, but be prepared nonetheless." "Of course. Once we cross their lines, it's less than a mile to the first populated area. It's a smaller population compared to the heart of the Seattle district, but it's more than enough to make our presence known." "How far to the train yard after that?" Church asked. "About 3 miles, where we'll come across a few more neighborhoods. Once we arrive at the train yard, my teams will move south, causing as much of a ruckus as we can," Garrett explained. "Good. That's what I like to hear. Church, we have more than enough manpower. I can spare some men to send with you," Garrett offered. "It's not necessary," Church replied. "Are you sure?" "Garrett, why would you deny me the simple pleasures of waging a one-man war? I have dreamt of this moment, and here you are trying to deny me from having it." Garrett put his hands up in a defensive position, taking half a step back and speaking in a very apologetic manner. "I'm sorry, Church, I'm sorry. I was just trying to be helpful. But I won't bring it up again. See, you're a smart guy. That's why Maxwell put you second in command of this little expedition. Now get out there and see if the party favors are ready to be delivered. If they are, get this train moving." Church spoke with a little venom in his tone before dismissively waving his hand in Garrett's direction. The militiaman scurried out the back of the train car to do as ordered. Church then turned his attention to the other militiaman in the car, bringing back some of his playfulness. "Hey gang, I'm sure y'all are doing some really important work, and I have no doubt that you're doing a great job with it, but if you don't mind, I'd really like to have some quality alone time with my good friend Tatum here." The men quickly nodded and exited through the same door Garrett escaped through. It only took a few moments before the two men were alone. "Now where are my manners? Would you care for a cup of coffee, Tatum?" Church asked, pointing over to a small kettle on top of a hot plate. He checked to make sure that the water was hot before holding it up to the bound militiaman. "I'm sorry it's not going to be the high-quality stuff, but the freeze-dried stuff does well in a pinch. And let's be honest, you're in a pinch right now." Tatum thought about it for a moment before giving a subtle nod. "Sure, Church, I'll have a cup of coffee." "Excellent. I'm going to go ahead and put a packet of sugar in there, because it really helps balance it out. I would offer you cream, but I'm afraid I'm fresh out." "I prefer it black anyway," Tatum replied. Simple yet hardcore. I like it. Church turned back to the coffee cups, dishing in the freeze-dried powder before pouring near boiling water over top. After stirring in the sugar, he walked the cups over to the table Tatum was sitting at, setting the mugs down in front of him. Tatum stared at it for a moment, then back up at Church. It took the large militiaman a few seconds before he realized that Tatum was still restrained. "Well, damn, it's going to be kind of hard to drink your coffee tied up like that, isn't it?" "My apologies," Church said. Church bounced up from his seat, stepping behind Tatum for a moment before coming back around to the table. As he sat back down in his seat, he plunked a bendy straw into the coffee cup, positioning it in front of Tatum. "Okay, now that we have that squared away, I think it's time you and I had a chat." Chapter 2. Both men sat in silence for a moment, enjoying their coffee as the train began to inch forward. Tatum said, "I have to say, Church, it's a pretty interesting move to lay out your plan there. Kind of leads me to believe that you're going to drop me into one of those cattle cars once I'm done with my coffee." Church cocked his head to the side in dismay, speaking in an exasperated tone. "After everything we've been through, do you really think I would do something like that to one of my brothers in arms?" "You did beat the shit out of me," Tatum replied. "Oh, come on, brothers fight all the time," Church said. "That's nothing, just a disagreement between family. Like I told Reed, I don't hold any ill will against you or him." "If that's the case, I don't suppose you could cut me loose, could you?" Tatum asked. "In due time, Tatum, in due time. Until that moment arrives, however, let me get you a refill." Church got up from his seat, grabbing the hot water and coffee to bring over to the table. He continued talking as he fixed them another cup. "So if you're not going to feed me to the masses, or put a bullet in the back of my head," Tatum began. "Don't worry, I'm not going to do that either," Church interjected. "Then what are you going to do to me?" Tatum asked. "I'm going to show you just how much faith I have in you," Church said. Tatum stared at his adversary as he put the kettle back on the warmer. "Faith in me, huh? How does that work exactly?" "Don't worry, you'll see soon enough. In the meantime, I wonder if you'll indulge me," Church said. "I'll be happy to if I can. What did you have in mind?" Tatum asked. "As you can probably imagine, I don't really have a lot of friends back in Bend. I think I come across as off-putting." "You? No, can't be," Tatum spoke in a mocking tone, prompting a chuckle from Church. Church smiled. "I wanted to know if you would tell me some stories about you and your friends. I just want to feel like one of the gang for a minute." Tatum could hear the sincerity in Church's voice, which convinced him to nod and indulge him. Plus, he thought staying on his good side would be beneficial to his survival. "Well, I have this great story about reed hunting," Tatum began. Over the next hour, Tatum entertained Church with a variety of stories from his past. Church hung on every word, laughing and joking around with Tatum as he told the tales. He continued until he was interrupted by gunfire coming from outside the train. Both men sat in silence for a few moments, waiting for it to taper off. A moment later, The radio on the table crackled to life. "Church, we're through the defenses. 2 minutes until the first target," Garrett's voice crackled. Church grabbed the radio, saying "copy" quickly before tossing it onto the table. He then turned his attention back to Tatum, giving him a big smile as he pulled himself up to his feet. "I know you may not believe me, Tatum, but I really do value the time we just spent together. It's my hope that we'll be able to do that again in the near future, only with the rest of your friends as well," Church said. "Maxwell owes me a case of some top-shelf stuff for pulling this mission off, and it would be my pleasure to share it with you." "We have to get through the day first," Tatum replied. Church smiled. "Straight into business mode at a moment's notice. I admire that about you, Tatum." Church stepped over to the bound militiaman, pulling out a knife and cutting the restraints on his hand and helping him to his feet. With a subtle push on his back, Church guided Tatum towards the back door of his train car. "Please take a step outside," Church said. Tatum did as instructed, stepping out onto the back balcony of the train car. His eyes went wide when he saw zombies smacking to the ground and running into the city streets. He quickly looked around the side of the train, seeing that the militia had opened up a couple of cattle car doors, allowing the zombified soldiers to flow out. "Mother of God," Tatum muttered. "Yeah, Tatum, it is quite the sight, isn't it? It's going to be like this all the way up to the train yard," Church said. "So now what?" Tatum asked. "Oh, right, my apologies. Now what I do next might seem cruel, but I swear it's to show my faith in you, Tatum. You know what my plan is, you know where I'm going and what we're about to do. To the east, civilians and military alike are facing their worst nightmare. To the south lies your freedom. The military is going to be so tied up dealing with the mess we're making that a man of your skill set should have no problem slipping through their porous lines undetected," Church said. Church gave Tatum a moment to soak in all the information before continuing. "Now, I don't think Garrett is going to let you hitch a ride back with him, but I have full confidence a man like you will have no trouble securing transportation," Church continued. Church reached into the back of his waistband, pulling out a handgun and showing it to Tatum. He popped out the magazine, sliding it into Tatum's left pocket before sliding the empty handgun into his right pocket. "I have the utmost faith in you that you're going to do the right thing and escape while you can. I'll have that bottle waiting for you in Bend when you get there," Church said. Church reached down and unlatched a chain on the railing, leaving an empty space to move through. "Remember to tuck and roll," Church added. Tatum barely heard the last word in Church's sentence before the large man shoved him in the back and off of the train. He landed hard on the ground, managing to dive forward ever so slightly to break his fall. Tatum groaned in pain from the hard landing on the ground. However, he was relieved that he narrowly avoided the rocks right beside the tracks. He glanced back toward the train, watching Church wave at him from the rear of the last car. "Well, at least he didn't shoot me," Tatum muttered. Several gunshots popped off in the distance, drawing Tatum's attention. He looked to the east and right into a quaint section of town, the streets lined with stores and mid-rise buildings. He could hear screams coming from several directions. Before he could do anything, however, rapid footsteps pulled his attention to the south. One of the recently turned soldier zombies was locked onto him and closing the 10-yard distance between them quickly. Tatum quickly reached into his right pocket to grab the gun, however, it caught on his pants, preventing him from drawing it. "Damn it," Tatum cursed. Improvising, Tatum waited a brief second for the creature to get close to him. Once within arm's reach, the militiaman darted back towards the train tracks, letting the ghoul sprint right by him. Before the ghoul could adjust course and come in for another attack, Tatum grabbed onto a large, jagged rock. Tatum spun around and swung just in time, delivering the point of the rock into the side of the creature's head with enough force to crack the skull. The zombie fell to the ground, convulsing as Tatum delivered a couple more strikes to put it down for good. He scanned the immediate area, making sure that the coast was clear. Once he knew he had a moment, he yanked out the handgun and magazine from his pockets. With a few quick moves, the weapon was ready for use. Tatum stood there for a moment, hearing the gunshots and screams going off to the east. His first instinct was to go and help, however, self-preservation forced him to look back down the tracks to the south. He stared down them for several moments, knowing that he had a brief window to retreat out of enemy territory. The longer he stayed, the better the odds were that he wasn't getting out of Seattle. A pained, panicked cry for help coming from just around the corner of the closest building made the decision for him. Fighting the military was one thing, but civilians didn't deserve this. "Damn it, Tatum, you just had to have a conscience, didn't you?" he muttered to himself. Tatum gave his handgun another quick check before running off towards the panicked screams. He picked up the pace, hearing more voices join the chorus, only to have the cries for help turn into pained screams. Tatum reached the side of the building, not pausing before rushing around the corner and into the street. While there was chaos stretching on for blocks, his attention was keenly focused on five figures just a few steps away from him. One man lay on the ground, bleeding from a gruesome neck wound, while a terrified woman knelt beside him, struggling to prevent him from bleeding out. Just off to the side of them were two men struggling to control a thrashing zombie, the blood on his uniform still fresh. The creature had both of its arms pulled behind its back, while the civilian in front of it had his hands firmly on its chest in an attempt to hold him back. With a violent arm pull, the ghoul broke free of his captor, immediately grabbing onto the back of the man's head just in front of him. Tatum's instincts kicked in, raising the handgun and firing a risky shot towards the zombie. A couple inches to either side would result in a civilian catching a bullet, however, his aim was true. The zombie's head lurched to the side upon impact, spraying brain and skull onto the two stunned civilians. Both men looked over to Tatum, but rather than feel relief that he saved their skin, fear gripped them. Tatum could see it on their faces, and the reason for their trepidation dawned on him quickly. He was still dressed for combat, just not like the soldiers they were accustomed to seeing around town. "It's okay, I'm here to help," Tatum said. "Who the hell are you?" one of the civilians asked. "It's Tatum, and do you really want to do this right now?" Tatum replied. Before either of the men could respond, Tatum stepped to the side, raising his handgun and firing a couple more rounds down the street. The civilians flinched and turned, watching as another zombie soldier collapsed just a few yards away from them. "Look, I'll answer your questions as soon as we're off the street." "Now, where can we go?" Tatum asked. One of the men pointed to a small store across the street. He pulled out a set of keys, dangling them for a moment. "That's my shop over there," the civilian said. Tatum nodded and pointed to the woman on the ground that was attending to the wounded man. "Get her and I'll take care of him. Now move." The two men reacted to the intensity in his voice, grabbing onto the crying woman and dragging her away from the wounded man on the ground. As soon as they were clear, Tatum stepped over to the bitten man, who was quickly losing what little life he had left. "I'm so sorry that this happened to you," Tatum said. Tatum raised his handgun, aiming it straight at the man's head. With a single trigger pull, he ended the man's suffering. Chapter 3. The sound of the gunshot echoed throughout the city streets as Tatum turned around and began running towards the storefront just across from him. As his feet pounded on the pavement, he glanced down the block. Dozens of civilians ran for cover as zombified soldiers chased after them. A small group of people rushed through the door of a restaurant as half a dozen creatures pressed up against it, trying to break through. A few yards past that, two packs of ghouls feasted on those who weren't quick enough to make it to safety. Tatum shook it off, turning his attention back towards his own safety, which was just a few steps away. Much to his surprise, the man standing guard at the door continued to hold it open for him. For a brief second, a thought in the back of his head questioned if he would do the same for an interloper. As the militiaman got close to the door, he heard the unmistakable sound of moaning coming from his right. With a slight glance over, he saw three creatures sprinting towards him. Tatum made an unintelligible yell as he crossed the threshold, trying to warn the man of the impending danger. Much to his relief, the man was paying attention and slammed the door shut mere seconds before the trio of ghouls reached the front of the store. The four survivors stood in shock for a moment, staring at the zombified soldiers as they tried to break through the glass. After a moment of pause, the man by the door turned towards Tatum, speaking in an angry tone. "Okay, you have 30 seconds to explain what in the hell is going on, or else we're going to throw your ass outside," Dylan demanded. Thomas stepped over to his angry friend, putting his hand on his shoulder in an attempt to calm him down. "Settle down, Dylan. If this man wanted to do us harm, he had ample opportunity to do so. He could have shot us, or he could have simply run in the other direction. But he came to our aid, Thomas said. Just look at him, though, Thomas. He's not military, and I sure as hell haven't seen him around here before. And where did he even get a gun from? Dylan shot back. Tatum secured the handgun in the back of his pants before putting his hands up in a placating manner, hoping to calm the tension in the room. Let's everybody take a beat here. I'm Tatum, and you're right, Dylan. I'm not from around here, Tatum said. See, I told you, Dylan exclaimed. Thomas rubbed his friend's shoulder a little more, finally getting him to calm down. Please forgive my friend Dylan here. He had a rough go of it during the early weeks of this thing, Thomas explained. His anger is understandable, Tatum replied. Even so, I still apologize on his behalf. My name's Thomas, and that poor woman currently sobbing in the corner is Mary, Thomas continued. Tatum looked over to the woman who was in a near catatonic state, her hands and clothes covered in the blood of the man on the ground across the street. Tatum wanted to say something comforting but thought better of it. Thomas, do you have a radio in here? Tatum asked. Before we do anything, you're going to tell us what's going on. Dylan lashed out towards Tatum, calming himself before Thomas could react. I'm good, man. I just want to know what the hell is going on, Dylan added. Before Tatum could respond, a couple of shots popped off in the distance. The sound drew the attention of everyone in the room, who remained silent for a few moments, listening for more shots which quickly followed. I don't have time to get into all of it. All you need to know is everyone in Seattle is in danger, and the longer it takes me to get in touch with the military, the more innocent people are going to die. So I'll ask again, do you have a radio in here? Tatum asked urgently. Dylan and Thomas exchanged concerned glances as more gunshots popped off in the distance. After a long sigh, Thomas shook his head no. I'm sorry, but I don't have a radio in here. And even if I did, the military doesn't exactly share their frequency with us, Thomas replied. Tatum showed a flash of rage as more gunfire went off in the distance. He quickly calmed himself before moving over to the window, trying to look past the handful of zombies pressed up against the glass. He couldn't see much from his vantage point, only a few creatures running down the street. Tatum tried to listen for more gunshots to get a read on where they were coming from, but they quickly tapered off. After muttering a string of obscenities under his breath, he turned to Thomas and spoke forcefully. Where would the soldiers be coming from? Tatum asked. I'm sorry, I don't understand, Thomas replied, confused. The soldiers, if they knew something was happening on this street, where would they be coming from? Where are they stationed? Do they have a base? A clubhouse? Anything? Tatum clarified. Thomas finally nodded in understanding, fumbling with his words for a moment before responding. There's Wait. Is that the one? Thomas debated with himself for a few moments before finally feeling confident in his answer. Yes, that's the one. They have a small base a few blocks to the south. Straight down the street there, then one or two blocks over. It's a big brick two-story building that takes up the whole block, Thomas explained. Then that's where I have to get to, Tatum stated. Well, I hope you know how to teleport, because I'm not opening this door for a while, Dylan said. This place has a back door, right? Tatum asked. Dylan puffed out his chest like he was going to deny Tatum again, but Thomas stepped up first, cutting his friend off. Right through the back there. Come on, I'll show you, Thomas said. Thomas nodded to Dylan, pointing to the front door as if to silently tell him to keep watch on it. Tatum waited for him to pass by, following the shop owner into the back. Thomas flicked on a light in the back storeroom, revealing a handful of boxes lining the walls. Tatum gave it a once-over, seeing a variety of household and personal goods. Things like deodorant, toothpaste, and blankets were the most popular items, however, in the far corner stood several stacks of books and board games. I'm guessing you're popular around here, Tatum asked. Less popular than you might think. While I fully understand the need for rationing, a lot of the people who come into my shop don't share my practical way of thinking, Thomas said. Thomas walked over to the back door, putting his hand on the lock but pausing before opening it up. Hold on a moment for me, Thomas said. I really don't have time for this, Thomas, Tatum urged. Rather than respond, Thomas simply held up a single finger as he walked towards a canvas bag leaning up against the wall. He unzipped it and rummaged around for a moment, the sound of metallic clinking filling the air. A moment later, he pulled out a large metal baseball bat, tossing it over to a grateful Tatum. I carried one of those for weeks at the start of all this madness. It saved my ass more times than I can count. The first hope it can do the same for you, Thomas said. Tatum gave the man a thankful nod as he gripped his new weapon tightly. He took up a position by the door, waiting on Thomas to yank it open. The alley should be pretty clear, but you're going to have to make the turn to the south when you hit the street. There's not another alley across the way, Thomas warned. I really appreciate the help, Thomas. Once I'm through, you should lock this place up tight and let the military do what they're trained to do, Tatum said. Don't worry about us. I have some food stashed away, and once we get out of sight, those things out front will lose interest, Thomas assured him. Tatum took a couple of deep breaths to steady himself before giving the signal to Thomas. With a quick motion, he unlocked the door and pulled it open, bathing the darkened storeroom in light. Tatum didn't hesitate, breaking from his position and darting out into the alley. He made a hard right turn, relieved to not see any movement, even after glancing over his shoulder. The militiamen moved swiftly up the alley, pausing a few yards away from the edge as two zombies rushed by. While he couldn't see what they had their sights on, it was apparently enticing because they didn't give him so much as a side-eyed glance. Tatum pushed up to the edge of the building, looking out at the street, which was scarred with the signs of battle. A couple of corpses lay on the ground, both of them wearing fatigues. Blood pooled on the pavement, their donor long since risen, and moved on in search of prey. He could see some movement coming from the street, but most of the creatures weren't looking in his direction. The mobs of ghouls were pressed up against various stores, trying to break inside. A couple of gunshots went off on the next block, drawing the attention of a couple of zombies who broke away from the pack and went looking for the source. One ghoul was struck down pretty quickly with a well-placed headshot, but the other continued running. Tatum stuck his head out a little further from cover, trying to get a better look at the scene. He watched as three soldiers emerged from the alley on the next block, all three of them gripping makeshift weapons in their hands. As the ghoul got within reach, the lead soldier darted forward, swinging his bat as hard as he could, smacking the creature in the chest and knocking it to the ground. Before it could scramble back to its feet, the other two soldiers joined in, using their weapons to crack its skull. Unfortunately for them, the noise they made drew unwanted attention, pulling even more zombies away from the packs of ghouls on the main street. Half a dozen ran towards the sound of metal on pavement, quickly locking eyes onto their targets. Rather than run, the soldiers stood their ground in the middle of the street, spreading out and preparing their weapons. Jesus Christ, get to some cover. What in the hell are you doing? Tatum shouted. Tatum let out an angry grunt, knowing that they were going to need his help, and that he was going to need theirs if he was going to prevent a total disaster. Pushing any form of rational thought out of his head, he broke from cover, pumping his legs as hard as he could towards the melee on the next block. Chapter 4. Tatum's footfalls slammed onto the pavement, sending up a signal to every nearby zombie that he was there. But that did not deter him from continuing to pick up speed, racing hard towards the three soldiers on the next block. The militiamen reached the intersection, pushing through across it, hoping that the noise he was making didn't attract too much attention. While his focus was on the battle raging ahead of him, he could see some slight movement to either side of him. However, it was difficult to tell if it was from ghouls breaking away from the mob or just them flailing against the building. Up ahead, the three soldiers swung their weapons with everything they had, two of them making contact with the first zombie to reach them. The soldier on the right, however, mistimed his swing. The tip of his crowbar glanced off the shoulder of the rampaging creature, allowing it to close the gap between them. The soldier screamed so loudly that it was audible over the clattering crowbar on the pavement. Tatum watched helplessly as the ghoul pinned the man down, ripping out a chunk of flesh from his upper arm. The soldier's comrades were desperate to help their friend, but they were on the verge of being overwhelmed by the other zombies. As a result, Tatum adjusted course towards the fallen man, quickly getting within striking distance. The wounded soldier used his good arm to shove the zombie up as high as he could, trying to spare himself another painful bite. Tatum took full advantage, planting his foot just behind the creature and swinging the bat as hard as he could. The impact was brutal, cracking the side of the skull in a single blow and sending the lifeless body to the ground in a heap. The other two soldiers saw what happened out of the corner of their eye, but were too busy trying to hold the other four creatures at bay. Tatum wasted no time in joining the fray, stepping over and bringing his bat down on top of the nearest zombie skull. As the ghoul collapsed to the ground, lifeless, Tatum made eye contact with the nearest soldier. Even though a word wasn't spoken between them, they acted as a single unit. The soldier used his bat like a shield, planting it into the chest of the creature that was thrashing at him. The ghoul never saw the blow from Tatum coming. The two men turned and helped the last soldier dispatch the last couple of creatures with ease. As soon as the corpses were on the ground, all three men turned towards the intersection, expecting the worst, but relieved to see that nothing else was coming their way. One of the soldiers rushed over to their man on the ground, while a young-looking soldier stepped up to Tatum. He got close so that they could speak in a low tone. "I don't know who you are, but thanks for the help there," Private Arnold said. "The name's Tatum," he replied. "I'm Private Arnold. That's Santos, and the man you saved is Riley." "I don't think saved is the right word, unfortunately. That thing took a chunk out of his arm before I could get to him." Arnold winced at the news, looking over to Riley, who had his hand firmly on the bite. "Damn it." Arnold looked around, as if he was struggling to figure out what to do next. Tatum could see the confusion on his face, prompting him to speak up. "Far be it from me to tell you what to do, soldier. But I think the sooner we get off the street, the better. In fact, what the hell were you doing out here in the street anyway?" Private Arnold let out a sigh as he pointed to a large rolling dumpster blocking the entrance to the alley. He let out a slight clicking noise, and a moment later another bitten soldier pushed it gently out. Behind it were half a dozen frightened civilians. "Shit," Tatum muttered. It all happened so fast. One second we're at the guard post, then the call came in, and we're out here staring down runners. The corporal got overwhelmed as soon as we arrived on scene, so I took over. The doors to the businesses were locked up tight, and those things started to get really interested in us, so we opened fire, which only drew more of them to us. Arnold began trailing off, as if he was going into a bit of shock. Tatum caught it quickly, grabbing the man by the shoulder and giving him a good shake. "Hey, stay with me. You did good, Private. You saved these people and kept them safe. But we have a bigger problem on our hands." "Bigger than an outbreak?" Arnold asked. "You have no idea. Do you have a radio?" Arnold thought for a moment before shaking his head. "The corporal had it, and he's out there running around somewhere." "Damn it. Okay, can you take me to your guard post? Lives are at stake, and they need the information that I have." Arnold looked at Tatum in a confused manner, struggling to comprehend the request. After a moment, he shook it off, turning his attention back to the civilians behind the dumpster. "Help me get them someplace safe, and I'll take you." Tatum knew that time was of the essence, but he reluctantly nodded after seeing the conviction in Arnold's eye. Arguing would only delay things, and it was time they couldn't afford to waste. "Fine. Do you know where we can take them?" "There's another group of people holed up in the store on the next corner." Arnold looked over to the other two soldiers, who were back on their feet and looking around for trouble. "Santos, get back to the store and let them know that we're coming with people." "But our orders were to—" Santos started. "This man has intel, and we need to get these people to safety. Now move." Santos knew that Arnold didn't have rank over him, however. He obeyed the order without questioning it further. While he ran down the street, Arnold and Tatum walked over to Riley, who had a look of pained anger on his face. "Riley, are you good?" Arnold asked. "I'm a dead man walking," Riley replied. "But as long as I can walk, I'll do what I can to help." "Good man. Let's get these civilians moving." "Copy that." While the injured soldiers got the civilians moving, Tatum and Arnold kept watch on their rear position. They moved out of the street, getting as close to the buildings as they could to minimize their exposure. Both men held their breath as a couple of zombies wandered out from the left side of the intersection. The ghouls never looked in their direction as they crossed, joining the mob on the other side. The two warriors exchanged a wide-eyed glance, knowing that they were fortunate. Arnold kept tabs on the group moving down the street, giving Tatum a light tap on the shoulder to join the procession once it got going. The two of them continued watching their rear, speaking softly as they went. "Tatum, please don't take this the wrong way, but I don't think you're from around here," Arnold said. Tatum let out a chuckle before responding. "What gave it away?" "Call it a hunch. You're dressed for combat, and you're clearly not a soldier. At least not anymore." "I've been out a while now, but I did some tours in the sandbox, for what it's worth." "That makes a lot of sense after seeing how you handled yourself back there. But still, I can't help but think." Arnold trailed off, trying to pick his words carefully, especially after it dawned on him that Tatum could wipe the floor with him and not break a sweat while doing it. Tatum could sense his trepidation, letting out another chuckle before finishing the private's thought for him. "You can relax, Private. I'm here to help. If I was going to do anything to you, I would have just stayed safely locked up inside rather than coming to your aid. So you can say what's on your mind." "Well, Tatum, I realize I'm just a lowly private, but it doesn't take a genius to see an outbreak of those things, and a highly trained newcomer showing up within minutes of each other, to realize that they're probably connected." "They are connected, Arnold. And if you can get me to someone with a radio, I just might be able to prevent the worst of what's coming." Arnold thought about it for a moment, giving Tatum a slight nod as they continued on. They only managed a few more steps before a gunshot rang out in the distance. Half a block up, the group watched helplessly as half a dozen zombies swarmed Private Santos. The doomed man squeezed off a couple more shots as he was dragged to the ground, managing to take the head off one of his killers. Tatum looked back towards the intersection, seeing that the gunfire drew the attention of several creatures. "We have to move. Arnold, you're with me." Arnold didn't question the militiamen, his instincts taking over and falling into line. "Everybody stay on my ass and get through that door when they open it." The other two soldiers nodded that they understood, falling in line just like Arnold did. "We hit them hard and hold the line until they're through." "I'm following your lead," Arnold said. Tatum reached into his back waistband, pulling out the handgun while gripping the baseball bat tightly in his offhand. With a slight yell, he took off running towards the mob that was feasting on the unlucky private. Tatum kept his focus trained on the feasting mob, relieved that no other creature had joined their ranks. When he got within 10 yards of them, the militiaman smacked his baseball bat onto the pavement, sending a metallic ping through the air. The sound drew the attention of two of the ghouls, the duo letting out a guttural moan of excitement before breaking away and sprinting toward the group. Tatum planted his feet firmly on the pavement a few yards away from them, raising his handgun and firing off two quick shots, the bullets finding their marks and blowing out the back of the zombies' heads. The commotion drew the attention of the other four zombies, who broke away from their meal to charge at the group. Tatum remained stationary, keeping his handgun aimed towards them. He squeezed off two more shots, taking down the creatures in the front of the pack. "Wait for it," Tatum yelled. Arnold listened to Tatum's advice, watching as the trailing creatures both tripped over the corpses of their counterparts. One of them slammed face first into the ground, while the other stumbled forward, nearly toppling over. Tatum pounced, darting forward and swinging his bat upwards as hard as he could, catching the stumbling creature square on the nose with enough force to snap its head back violently. The militiaman gave it one more smack on the back of the head just to be sure. Arnold had little trouble dispatching his creature, preventing it from ever getting back to its feet. The two men looked each way on the street, seeing a handful of zombies rushing towards them from either direction, but still most of a block away. Before either could call it out, a voice rang out from the front of the building. "What are you all waiting on? Get in here." Tatum turned to see an older, balding man holding the front door open. Arnold immediately recognized him and yelled, "Everybody follow Charles. Get inside now." The wounded soldiers and the frightened civilians quickly pushed their way through the front door of the standalone building, with Tatum and Arnold bringing up the rear. Both men backed up slowly, clutching their weapons as the zombies closed the distance. Much to their relief, Charles grabbed them both by the back shirt collars, yanking them inside and slamming the door shut before the zombified soldiers arrived. Before either of them could speak, Charles turned towards them, speaking in a controlled rage. "Someone needs to tell me what in the hell is going on right now." Chapter 5. Charles stood by the front door of the small shop, staring down Private Arnold and Tatum as the zombies continued to amass outside. The only sound permeating throughout the building came from the creature smacking against the glass. After several tense moments, he spoke again in a controlled rage. "Somebody needs to start talking right now," Charles demanded. Private Arnold glanced at Charles, hesitant. "Charles, there's a lot going on and we don't really have time to." Charles spoke up forcefully, cutting the young private off. "Then you need to make time." Fed up with the hostility, Tatum stepped in front of Private Arnold, taking control of the situation. "All you need to know is that we need to get in touch with military command. So unless you have a radio we can use, we don't need to hear anything from you." Charles didn't take Tatum's tone well, puffing out his chest as he responded. "This is my shop, and I don't know who you are, but you're going to respect me in here." Charles looked past Tatum, spotting the two soldiers with bites. His eyes went wide with fear as his firm tone turned to yelling. "Those two need to leave right now. I know what those bites do to people, and they're not welcome here. If we send them outside, then they're as good as dead," Private Arnold protested. "They're already dead, you fool," Charles shouted. "I want them out of here now." Tatum reacted swiftly, stepping over to Charles and grabbing him by the top of his shirt. With a forceful shove, he sent the older man careening into the front window, which only served to excite the creatures on the other side. The militiaman tightened his grip on the shirt, lifting Charles off the ground ever so slightly, forcing him to stand on his toes. "Perhaps you didn't hear me the first time," Tatum said coldly. "Unless you have a radio, I don't want to hear a word out of your mouth. So do you have a radio?" Charles began to open his mouth but could see the fire in Tatum's eyes, which quickly kept him silent. He gave a subtle shake of the head, indicating he didn't have a radio. "Good, you're learning." "I like that," Tatum muttered. "Now, as far as those men go, they've laid down their lives to protect civilians. They're not in any danger of turning anytime soon, so you're going to treat them like anybody else. If you don't, then I'm going to throw you off the roof myself. Do I make myself clear?" Charles struggled to form words, resulting in a rapid head nod. "Good. Now I'm going to let you go. I want you to find a corner to sit quietly in. Can you do that?" Tatum demanded. Charles again nodded before Tatum let him go. The older man looked away from the militiaman before running off to the back corner to hide. While he vanished into the crowd, Arnold stepped up. "You certainly have a way with words. You weren't even talking to me, but I felt the urge to run and hide," Private Arnold remarked. "I'm just not a fan of assholes, and I don't have the time to deal with them today," Tatum replied. "I'll have to remember that trick the next time I have to deal with old Charles there," Arnold said with a smirk. Tatum turned serious. "How close are we to the guard post?" "It's on this road, about 4 blocks up," Private Arnold answered. "Then let's find the back door and get moving," Tatum said decisively. Arnold nodded and followed Tatum towards the back of the store. As they walked, Charles noticed and spoke up. "If you're looking for the back door, there isn't one," Charles called out. Tatum stopped in his tracks, turning to the older man and speaking in an incredulous tone. "How in the holy hell do you not have a back door to this place?" "Well, there is a door back there, but it was welded shut by someone who rode out the first weeks of the apocalypse here," Charles explained. "So the only way out of here is through the front door?" Tatum asked. "It depends on how athletic you are," Charles replied cautiously. Tatum cocked his head to the side, indicating he wasn't in the mood for games. Charles quickly caught on and finished his thought. "There's a hatch to the roof in the back room. I don't have a ladder, but there's a step stool that should get you high enough." "Do you think that will work?" Private Arnold asked. Tatum contemplated for a moment, nodding to himself as a plan began to form. "Charles, what kind of stuff do you have here?" "We're like most stores, just a wide variety of common goods," Charles said. "Do you have anything metal?" Anything that will make a lot of noise when it hits the ground? Tatum asked. Yeah, there should be some tool sets in the back there. Why? Charles asked, confused. I want you to get as many of them together as you can and find me a few people who can get up to the roof. I have an idea, Tatum said. Tatum didn't wait for the older man to respond, assuming that he would be too scared not to comply with his orders. He motioned for Arnold to follow him into the back room, pointing to the corner where a step stool lay against the wall. It took a moment of scanning the ceiling to spot the hatch. Tatum shoved a few boxes out of the way to make room for Arnold to open up and place the step stool just below it. Get a good grip on this thing. I've done too much to have it end with a broken neck, Tatum instructed. Arnold chuckled as he gripped onto it tightly, steadying the step stool enough for Tatum to climb it. The militiaman reached up, popping out the roof hatch. The edge was just low enough for him to get his fingertips over the threshold. With a grunt, he pulled himself topside, rolling onto the rooftop before leaning back through the opening and extending a hand. Just grab on, and I'll pull you up, Tatum said. Arnold did as instructed, and a few seconds later he reached the top of the building. Tatum pulled him up to his feet before walking towards the front of the building. As they approached the edge, they could see the growing mass of zombies in front of the store. That doesn't look like fun, Private Arnold observed. Stay here and keep their attention. If you see any of them break off from the pack, I want you to yell out, Tatum instructed. The young private was confused by the request but nodded that he would do as asked. Tatum, meanwhile, turned and walked along the edge of the building, staring down at the ground below. Much to his relief, most of the action was at the front of the store, with only a couple of creatures on the side. Tatum reached the back of the store, taking a knee and looking to the back lot. Only one creature wandered around, completely oblivious to his presence. The militiaman's attention turned to the drop, which was roughly 9 feet from rooftop to pavement. I hope Arnold's knees still have all their ligaments, because that's going to be a hell of a drop, Tatum muttered. Tatum continued surveying the scene, looking into the neighborhood just to the south of the store. He could see some movement in the yards, but nothing that concerned him. As he stared into the distance, he heard a slight whistle coming from the hatch, drawing him over to it. I got a couple bags of tool sets here. I assume you want them up top there. Charles called up. Yeah, pass them up to me, Tatum said. Tatum lay on his stomach, reaching down into the store and grabbing the heavy canvas bags one by one, lifting them up onto the roof. After receiving 4 of them, he waved off the others. I think that's all we need. Where are my people? Tatum asked. I got a couple volunteers right here, Charles responded. Tatum looked down and saw a young couple, no more than 20, standing beside the shop owner. They stared up at the militiamen as if they were waiting for an invitation. Well, come on then. Give me your hands and I'll pull you up, Tatum urged. It took a team effort to get the couple topside, but within moments they were on the roof. It didn't take long for Tatum to notice how nervous they were to be out in the open, both of them flinching with every moan coming from the street. I need you both to relax. Those things can't get up here, and you don't even have to lay eyes on them to do what I need you to do, Tatum said reassuringly. The young couple nodded softly to Tatum, who pointed to the tool-filled bags. He pulled out one of the sets, which had a variety of smaller tools in a plastic container. Arnold, get back here, it's time to move, Tatum called. The private broke away from his watch while Tatum turned his attention back to the young couple. Okay, this is going to be really easy. When I give you the signal, I want you to pop the plastic lid open and start throwing these into the street. Aim towards the back left of the pack. We're heading to the right, so it would be nice if they weren't looking in our direction. Can you do that for me? Tatum instructed. Tatum received a couple of slight, frightened nods in response. He stared at them for a moment, watching them slowly get up to start preparing the tools to be thrown. While they moved towards the front of the building, he motioned for Arnold to get into position at the rear. Do you have a knife? Tatum asked. Yeah, I got one in my boot, Arnold said, reaching towards his feet and pulling out the blade, displaying it proudly. Good, because as soon as we hit the ground, I'm going to need you to take it down as quietly as you can, Tatum said, pointing over the edge of the building towards the lone wandering ghoul. Arnold swallowed hard but nodded confidently. He's as good as dead. That's good because there's two more just around the corner. So be ready to bail my ass out if they come running, Tatum added. Arnold nodded as Tatum turned towards the young couple. With a thumbs up, the two of them threw a set of tools as hard as they could. A few seconds later, the sound of clattering metal resonated through the air. Go, go, Tatum ordered. Both Tatum and Arnold grabbed onto the side of the roof, flinging their legs off the side and dropping to the pavement below. Despite his best efforts, Arnold landed off balance and tumbled backward to the ground. Tatum reacted swiftly, rushing to his partner's defense as the zombie locked onto him. The creature only took a couple of steps before meeting the tip of Tatum's blade. With a forceful shove, he sent the corpse to the ground, spinning around in a single motion in case the noise drew unwanted attention. Both men froze in place, awaiting company, but after several tense moments, nothing came. Tatum kept his eyes trained on the corner of the building as he reached down and grabbed Private Arnold by the arm, yanking him to his feet. Tatum used hand signals to get the young private moving to the south as quietly as possible. Both men stepped lightly on the pavement, only picking up the pace once they hit the grass. They rushed into the backyard of a nearby house, taking up a position by the corner. Tatum stared back towards the zombie-filled street, relieved to see that they were still enticed by the sound of clattering tools. Come on, Tatum said. If we stick to the yards, we should be okay. But keep your head on a swivel, because I don't think we're alone out here. Chapter 6. Tatum and Arnold moved swiftly through the neighborhood, pausing at the edge of every house to make sure the coast was clear. While they occasionally saw some movement, the creatures were distracted by other survivors. It took several minutes for them to get the guard post within sight, a full block away. Outside of it stood a handful of guards that were dug in behind makeshift fortifications. Dozens of zombie soldier corpses littered the street in front of the building, none of them within 10 yards of the barricade. It looks like your friends there have that building on lockdown, Tatum said. It's not surprising since it's the only building in this region that has ammunition, Arnold replied. I am a little surprised that Sergeant Stewart is letting it fly so freely, though. If he spent any time on the front lines, I'm sure he's seen plenty of reason. Those runners can mess up your day in a hurry. All the more reason to take it slow approaching the building. I want you to stay behind me as we approach, Arnold instructed. Lead the way, Tatum agreed. Arnold nodded as the two of them broke from cover. They moved at a brisk pace, not quite a run but not a casual walk either. It took a few moments of walking before they drew the attention of the guards outside the post. As soon as Arnold saw their rifles rise, he thrust his hands in the air, waving them frantically to get their attention. They held their breath as they watched the lead guard tap his partner on the shoulder. A few moments later, their squad leader stepped up to the line, waving for them to come in. Remember, let me do the talking, Arnold reminded. Yes, sir, Tatum replied with a hint of playfulness in his voice, prompting a chuckle from the young private. The two of them picked up the pace, jogging towards the line where the guards motioned for them to stop. You really shouldn't be here, Private, the guard said. You have orders, and even I know damn well they don't involve you coming back to the post. It's an emergency. I need to see the sergeant immediately, Arnold insisted. No shit, it's an emergency. That's why you. Arnold raised his voice, cutting the guard off. This man has intel that the sergeant needs to hear, so either shoot me or let me through. The guard looked up to the commanding officer, who was taken aback by the private's tone. It took a moment for Arnold's words to register, but finally, he nodded and waved them through. Yeah, fine, you can go in. But good luck getting Sarge's attention. I'll take my chances. Come on, Tatum, let's go, Arnold said. Tatum stifled a chuckle at the sudden bravado Arnold showed. He gave the guards a half-hearted nod and smile as he walked by them. The duo entered the guard post to find it more chaotic than the zombie-filled streets outside. Half a dozen soldiers ran about, frantically filling bags with ammunition and weapons before handing them off to runners who bolted out the door. A couple of soldiers sat at the back of the building, monitoring several walkie-talkies each. They listened intently while marking down locations on the map. While Tatum wasn't exactly sure of their system, he saw a lot of red running along the rail line, so it wasn't all that difficult to see that things weren't going great. In the middle of the room, Sergeant Stewart paced about, talking into a satellite phone. He was a commanding figure, well over 6 feet tall, and enough muscle mass to force the stitches on his uniform to work overtime. With all the commotion in the room, it was difficult for Tatum to make out what he was saying. However, given his movements and voice level, it was clear that he wasn't happy. "We might want to give him a second," Arnold whispered. "That's probably a good idea," Tatum agreed. The two of them stood out of the way for a few more moments, waiting for the sergeant to finish his call. Stewart let out a string of curses before slamming the phone down on the nearest desk in frustration. He stood there, staring at it for a moment before raising it up and slamming it down on the table one more time for good measure. "Okay, I think we're good," Arnold said. Arnold took a step forward, with Tatum following close behind. "Sergeant Stewart, I need to speak with you." Sergeant Stewart turned around, staring down the young private while continuing his tone from the phone call. "What in the Sam hell are you doing in my command post, Private? I specifically gave your team an order to set up a choke point across from the tracks not 30 minutes ago." "Sir, I have someone you need to speak to," Arnold said, motioning to Tatum, who stepped forward and inherited the stare down from Stewart, much to Arnold's relief. "I don't have time for civilians. We have a war on our hands out there," Stewart snapped. "You don't know the half of it, Sergeant," Tatum said. "Damn civilians, always getting scared when those things come a-running." "I don't have time for this," Stewart grumbled. "Well, you need to make time, Sergeant. Because I was on the train that dropped those things off on your doorstep," Tatum replied. The entire room fell silent as all attention focused on Tatum. The sergeant appeared as though his brain was misfiring, struggling to comprehend the last sentence he heard. It snapped back to the moment, however, and he unleashed a string of curses before focusing on Arnold. "God damn it, Private. You brought a militiaman into my command center. Guards, seize this man, now." Stewart looked over to the soldiers to his side before looking back to Tatum. The sergeant froze in place as Tatum cocked the hammer back on his handgun, which was pointed at the bridge of Stewart's nose. A tense, deathly quiet standoff ensued for several seconds as everyone remained still, unsure of what to do next. "Okay, Sergeant, let's look at the situation, shall we? Maybe you're fast enough to smack my hand away, or maybe you try and lose half your skull in the process. Or maybe, just maybe you shut the fuck up for 30 seconds and let me help you save some lives." "Now what's it going to be?" Tatum demanded. Stewart stared down Tatum for a moment before giving him a confident nod. He followed that up by motioning to his men around the room to stand down. "You got 30 seconds. I'll give you 40 if you lower your gun," Stewart said. Tatum nodded as he lowered his weapon, keeping it at the ready just in case anybody tried anything. "Roughly 36 hours ago, soldiers from Spokane launched an attack on my home. In the process, they not only killed my friends, but they also killed my wife and child. Entire families were wiped out in a matter of seconds," Tatum said. Tatum choked up for a split second before regaining his composure and continuing. "In response to the unprovoked assault, a group of militia led by a maniac attacked Spokane. In a matter of hours, the skeleton crew that was stationed there surrendered to us. From there, they were loaded up onto a train, turned into those things, and released onto your streets." "Bullshit," Stewart muttered. "If you don't believe me, then look out to the street in front of your post. Every single corpse is in bloody fatigues," Tatum said. Stewart glanced over his shoulder to one of his men stationed by the window. The soldier looked outside for a moment before turning back to the sergeant and giving him a horrified nod. "Damn it. So how many of those things are we talking about?" Stewart asked. "I wasn't in a position to do a head count, but at least 1,000, Tatum answered. "Jesus Christ," Stewart muttered. "Tell me about it," Tatum replied. "But why tell me?" "To brag," Stewart asked. "Because I want to help you save lives," Tatum said. "Why should I believe you?" Stewart challenged. "Because I had every opportunity to escape through your lines while you were distracted. But I risked my life to get here," Tatum insisted. So you're a militiaman with a heart of gold, huh? I guess that desire to save life didn't extend to the soldiers in Spokane, did it? Stuart sneered. Tatum took a step forward, hardening his tone and staring down the sergeant. No, it didn't. Whether they intended to or not, they murdered my wife and child, and I wanted them to pay. But when I learned about the plan to attack the civilians in Seattle, I drew the line. They didn't choose this fight any more than my family did. Stuart continued staring at Tatum, seeing and hearing the conviction in him. After a moment, he nodded. Fair enough. What else can you tell me? Stuart asked. It's not just those things you have to worry about. There's a militia strike force on the train. They're well-armed, well-trained, and they're out for blood, Tatum warned. Jesus. How many? Stuart asked. I don't know, but enough to cause a diversion before they escape through the lines to the south, Tatum said. A diversion? Stuart pressed. Yeah, for what I'm not exactly sure. But I know who it's for. It's a man named Church, and he's apparently a higher up down in Bend. I don't know what his plan is, only that he's meeting his contact at a sports bar to the north of the train yard, Tatum said. Which one? Stuart demanded. I wish I knew. I just know it's north of the yard, Tatum replied. We'll find it, Stuart said. Make sure you find him. I don't know what he's up to, but given the resources they're spending, it's got to be big, Tatum insisted. Is that all? Stuart asked. Yeah, that's all I got, Tatum said. I appreciate the information. I'll make sure it gets put to good use, Stuart said. Stuart looked past him towards a couple of soldiers, waving them over. I'm going to have my men escort you to our makeshift holding room. You seem like you're more than capable of holding your own out there, but I hope you understand why I can't have you running around a free man. Do what you have to do, Sergeant, Tatum replied. For what it's worth, I'm sorry about your family, Stuart said. I appreciate that, Sergeant, Tatum said. Stuart leaned in close to Tatum, whispering in his ear. I respect the risk you took to try and save innocent lives. The window on the right doesn't squeak when it opens. Stuart leaned back, giving Tatum a wink. The militiaman, for his part, gave a subtle, thankful nod before giving up his handgun and walking off with the guards. Tatum glanced over his shoulder, watching as the sergeant picked up the satellite phone and began barking into it. As he walked towards his makeshift cell, he continued talking, hoping the soldiers would listen. Please make sure the sergeant doesn't underestimate Church. The man is a bona fide maniac, Tatum said. So is the sergeant when he's pushed to be, the guard replied. Trust me when I say you've never seen anything like Church, Tatum insisted. Relax, militia boy, we'll handle it, the guard said, giving Tatum a forceful shove in the back, sending him stumbling into the small office. The only things in the room were a lone folding chair and a bucket in the corner. Not the most luxurious of accommodations, Tatum remarked. Trust me, it's the best you're going to get for a good long while, so you might want to enjoy them. The guards chuckled as they slammed the door shut behind them, locking it up tight. Tatum waited for a long moment before moving towards the window in the right corner of the room. He stopped in front of it, hesitant to make a move. Finally, he reached up towards the lock, placing his hand on it before turning. Okay, let's see if the sergeant was setting me up or not. Chapter 7. The lock on the window turned silently, much to Tatum's relief. After a quick glance over his shoulder to make sure he wasn't being watched, he lifted the window as quietly as he could. The militiaman slipped out, planting his feet on the grass just outside the building. He gave one more quick look inside, making sure this wasn't some elaborate trap set up by the sergeant. Once he was certain the coast was clear, he took off running to the south. Tatum could hear some gunfire popping off behind him, but none appeared to be coming his way. Looks like those things are making their way south. That should help with the cover, he said aloud. Tatum ran hard through the first yard of the neighborhood, darting around the house and into the street on the other side. His footfalls on the pavement smacked down harder than he had anticipated, drawing the attention of a couple of ghouls a few doors down. Damn it. Despite the looming threat, Tatum pressed on, sprinting into the next backyard. He looked around for someplace safe to go, but none of the yards had fences. The moans of the creatures behind him grew louder as they got closer. Tatum forced himself to keep moving, getting another block down before spotting an old, wooden bench sitting in the backyard of a nearby house. He knew the creatures were gaining on him, forcing his hand. Tatum adjusted course, running towards the bench and stopping just shy of it. He turned just as the first creature reached him while running full speed. Tatum stepped to the side at the right moment, smacking the ghoul on the back and sending it careening into the wooden bench. The creature hit the outdoor furniture with enough force to crash through the back of the bench, cracking the wood in the process. Tatum didn't have time to reach for a makeshift weapon, however, as the next creature slammed into him at full speed. Tatum managed to spin around just enough so that the zombie was below him as they fell to the bench. Their combined weight was more than enough to crack the seat, sending splintered wood through the air. Tatum yelped in pain as one of the splinters jammed a couple of inches into his gut. Instinctively, he rolled over, hoping to minimize the damage. As his back slammed onto the ground, one of the creatures crawled over to him. Within seconds, the ghoul was on top of him. The militiaman got one hand on the zombie's chest, keeping it barely a foot away from him. The creature snapped its teeth, hungry for the flesh that was just out of reach. With no other choice, Tatum grabbed the long piece of splintered wood that was firmly embedded in his stomach. In a single motion, he yanked it out and jammed it into the eye of the zombie. The wood pierced through the creature's eye and into its brain, rendering it lifeless in one blow. Before Tatum could push the ghoul off of him, however, the other creature launched itself towards them. The zombie tripped over the broken fragments of the bench, landing hard on the back of the dead creature Tatum was struggling to hold up. The added weight sent it crashing down on top of him. Tatum turned his head at the last possible second as the splintered wood in the zombie's eye missed impaling him by mere inches. The other creature on top continued thrashing about, trying to get to the tasty treat just below. "You're really going to make me do this, aren't you?" Tatum muttered, cursing under his breath as he began to inch his way back from the corpse on top of him. Every move was matched by the living one. After several seconds, he moved back enough so that his chest was free, and the other ghoul pounced immediately. Tatum thrust his hand up, catching the creature by the throat. He struggled with the thrashing ghoul for several seconds before firmly securing it. Once he was confident it couldn't break his grip, he moved the rest of the way back. The zombified soldier above him was a beast, muscular and threatening to get the better of the militiaman. Tatum knew he wasn't going to be able to get to his feet, forcing him to improvise. He pulled his legs into his chest, planting his feet into the gut and chest of the creature. He allowed it to push down close to him before pushing off with everything he had. The militiaman let out a forceful grunt as he sent the zombie careening backward. It was just enough of a shove to put the creature off balance, however, it managed to keep its feet underneath it. Tatum quickly scrambled to his feet, charging at the creature before it could do the same to him. He ducked underneath the outstretched arm of the zombie, launching his body upward while grabbing onto the creature's shirt. It was just enough to pull the ghoul off its feet, allowing him to slam it down onto the splintered wood. Blood splattered onto Tatum as the splinter pierced through the creature's chest. The militiaman took a step back, waiting for the ghoul to attack again, but he was relieved to see that the fragment was still connected to the main part of the bench. He watched as the ghoul thrashed about, trying to get back to its feet, but was prevented from doing so by the splinter. "You're lucky I'm not armed, or else I'd put you down for good." Tatum let out a relieved sigh as he continued moving towards the south, continually glancing over his shoulder to make sure that the zombie stayed on the ground. With one last look, the militiaman made the turn around the house to keep moving. The next few blocks were uneventful, with barely a sign of any movement. The only thing alerting him to trouble were the gunshots popping off in every direction. Most of them were quite a ways away, and usually one or two shots at a time. When a torrent of gunfire erupted from the next block, Tatum quickly ducked behind cover. The militiaman took a position by the back of a house, looking around the corner to the next street in the hopes of seeing what was going on. From his vantage point, the only thing he could see was an empty street, but the gunfire continued going off unabated. "Just fall back a block and cross over. This isn't your fight anymore," he told himself. Despite his curiosity, Tatum convinced himself to keep moving, doubling back the way he came to move down a block before continuing south. He paused at the corner of a house, looking in the direction of the gunfire as it died down. Despite the distance, he could see a handful of soldiers a few blocks away, walking around the middle of the street, checking the corpses on the ground. "Move, man, move." Tatum willed himself out from cover, darting across the street while the soldiers were distracted by their duty. Much to his relief, he reached the other side without a shot being fired in his direction. Tatum paused for a moment, glancing towards the soldiers to make sure they weren't pursuing him. Once he was confident he was in the clear, he continued moving. Several more blocks passed as the sound of gunshots continued to get harder to hear in the distance behind him. As he walked, he looked around in a bit of confusion, stopping to get his bearings. "Did I already pass their line?" Tatum asked himself. He looked back behind him, trying to count how many blocks he had moved but couldn't quite figure it out. He snapped back to the moment when the sound of a walkie-talkie blared to life nearby. Tatum rushed to a large tree in the front yard of a house, taking a knee beside it while trying to find the source of the noise. As it went off again, he spotted movement in the backyard of the house across the street. Two soldiers casually walked out from the back, one of them talking into a radio. A moment later, they exchanged a worrying glance with each other and took off running to the north. Tatum waited for several moments, making sure they didn't have friends following close behind. When he was confident they were alone, he broke from cover and rushed to the south. He remained on guard as he walked into the backyard of the house, seeing a hastily set up defensive line. There was a collection of barbed wire, wooden fencing, and chains tied up to metal posts that had been driven into the ground. "Damn. This is pretty pitiful. I mean, I guess it works for zombies, but anybody with the ability to duck won't have much of an issue." Tatum walked cautiously up to the line, looking down in both directions to make sure there wasn't a soldier stationed there. Once he knew he was alone, he ducked underneath a chain to get to the other side. He continued moving several blocks to the south, which was completely devoid of movement. Nothing living or undead roamed the area. "You would think if they had a defensive line there would be some signs of fighting," he muttered. Tatum's confusion continued as he walked through the neighborhood to the south. A couple more blocks passed when a rancid scent hit his nostrils. Being among the living dead had made him resistant to a lot of smells, but this was overpowering. "What in the hell is that?" Tatum continued walking to the south, stopping in disbelief at the edge of the next house. "Well, that explains the smell." In front of him lay thousands of zombie corpses, some stacked as high as 5 and 6, stretching on as far as Tatum could see. Most of the bodies were badly decomposed, as if they had been there for weeks. "I guess if I had to work on the line, I'd want the bodies far enough away that I wouldn't have to smell them either. Still, that's a hell of a lot of death." Tatum shook off the gruesome sight and began charting a path through them. He knew it was likely there was an easier way to cross over them, but he didn't want to run the risk of running into a patrol. Several agonizing minutes later, he reached the southern edge of the mass grave, shaking his head as he gasped for fresh air. After stifling a dry heave, he continued walking, finally reaching the edge of the neighborhood. He walked over to the back patio of a nearby house, seeing that the back door was broken open. Tatum stepped cautiously inside the house, seeing a decomposed corpse on the ground with a knife sticking in the back of its head. With a quick tug, he freed the weapon from its skull sheath. Tatum turned around, looking out the back window of the house, seeing the outskirts of a business district in the distance. While he couldn't tell how many there were, he could see distinct movement in the streets and parking lots ahead. "Okay, there's a wild, untamed hellscape ahead of you. You have no backup, no escape plan, and you're armed with a kitchen knife," he mused. Tatum thought about it for a moment before chuckling to himself. "Still, you're in a lot better shape than you thought you'd be when the day started." Chapter 8. Sergeant Stewart barked into the satellite phone as the other soldiers in the guard post rushed about. They prepared several weapon loadouts, setting one in front of the sergeant. "I need you to get a squad over to the north side of the train yard. It's some big dude named Church, and he's meeting a contact at a sports bar. That's all I got," Stewart said, cradling the phone between his head and shoulder while inspecting the assault rifle. He rummaged through the bag a bit, taking stock of his ammunition while he listened to the response. "Look, man, I don't know what to tell you. I have intel, and I'm sharing it with you. If you don't want to act on it, that's on you. Just don't come crying to me if you happen to live through the day, he added. Stuart listened for another moment, nodding his head at what was coming through the line. Yeah, that's what I thought. Now I gotta go because my boys are going to need reinforcements. He clicked off the phone and tossed it onto the table before slinging the ammunition bag over his shoulder. Where's that private at who brought the militiamen? He demanded. I'm here, Sarge. I'm Arnold, Private Arnold responded. Well, Arnold, grab you a rifle and a bag. Because we're going on a hunt, Stuart said. What about Tatum? He's really good in a fight, and it kind of looks like it's an all-hands-on-deck moment, Arnold asked. Don't worry about him. Stuart stared down Arnold with a knowing look, prompting confusion on the part of the private. A few seconds later, one of the other soldiers yelled out from the back of the building. Sarge, the prisoner is gone. The soldier shouted, Forget about him. We have to focus. We're moving in 60, so you better be geared up unless you plan on fighting those things hand to hand, Stuart ordered. A smirk came across Arnold's face, which the sergeant saw. I don't know what you're smiling at, but you better knock it the hell out, Stuart snapped. I'm sorry, Sarge, I just let my mind wander about what happened with Tatum, Arnold said. Well, you shouldn't. He's a bad man who helped kill a lot of our brothers and sisters in arms, Stuart replied. Then why did you? Arnold began. Stuart interrupted the private, speaking in a low and terrifying tone. I didn't do anything, Private. But if I did, it's because I understand that no matter what war you're in, you don't go after a man's family. We crossed a line, and when he had the chance to do the same, he ran back across it and saved some lives. Besides, we have too much on our hands today to deal with a prisoner, too. Arnold gave the sergeant a slight nod, dropping the subject as several soldiers yelled out from the front of the building. He looked in their direction, spotting four men armed with riot shields. Sarge, we are ready to go, one of the soldiers called. All right, men, we're on the move. Straight up the street and clear out anything that's in your way. Shield bearers, work as a single unit and focus on the front. We'll cover you. Are there any questions? Stuart asked. A chorus of "No, Sarge" echoed throughout the room, which put a smile on Stuart's face. Excellent. Let's move, he said. The shield bearers rushed out the door first, navigating over the makeshift barricades in front of the building and setting up a defensive line. Within seconds, half a dozen heavily armed soldiers filled in behind them, with Sergeant Stuart right in the middle. Sarge, there's a bunch of people trapped in the store a few blocks up, Arnold said. Let's go get them out then. Double time it, men, Stuart ordered. The entire unit moved as one, running down the street towards the store. Despite the noise their footfalls made, no creature was drawn to them. With a low whistle, the sergeant stopped them half a block up from the store. Jesus Christ, you escaped from that, Arnold, Stuart asked. He looked ahead, watching as several dozen zombies continued to press against the front window, flailing their arms in an attempt to break through. Yeah, Sarge, we had to jump off the roof at the back and make a run for it, Arnold explained. I didn't think you would have had that in you, Private. No offense, of course, Stuart said. None taken. I didn't think I had it in me either, Arnold admitted. How many people are inside? Stuart asked. A dozen, maybe? Including two members of my team, Arnold answered, hesitating as his voice trailed off. Stuart caught on and spoke up quickly. Is there something you need to tell me, soldier? The two men. They're bitten, Arnold revealed. And you let them inside a confined space with civilians? Stuart asked, incredulous. They were bitten on the arm and were in no danger of changing. With Tatum and I leaving, they were the only armed people available. So we took a calculated risk, Arnold explained. The sergeant thought about it for a moment before nodding his head in agreement. I'm not sure I approve, of course. I'm not sure I wouldn't have done it any differently. I appreciate the reassurance there, Sarge, Arnold replied. Don't get too appreciative until we see if they're still among the living, Stuart said. Arnold nodded as Stuart pulled up his assault rifle into a firing position, following his lead and doing the same. All right, men, Our ammo is precious, so treat it as such. Nobody is to fire until they're within 10 yards of the line. Is that clear? Stewart instructed. A chorus of yes, Sarge filled the air, bringing a slight smile to Stewart's face. Okay, let's kick this party off, Stewart said, taking aim towards the mob, picking a target in the middle of the pack before squeezing the trigger a couple of times. From their distance, it was difficult to see if the bullets were kill shots, however, it was easy to see that their main purpose was a success. Within seconds, the majority of the horde let out a guttural moan as they began sprinting towards the soldiers. Despite the looming threat, the troops maintained their composure, waiting on the order from Stewart. Hold, hold, Stewart commanded. The sergeant kept his sights trained on a zombie in the middle of the pack, remaining patient as it got within range. The moment the creature hit the 10-yard mark, Stewart let the bullets fly. Give them hell, Stewart shouted. All six soldiers opened fire, sending a torrent of bullets towards the mob. The first wave of shots ripped through the heads of creatures, dropping them nearly in unison to the ground. A few of their comrades tripped over their lifeless bodies, however, most pushed right on through. The soldiers continued firing at a steady pace, picking their target and putting them down one by one. Despite their constant shooting, several ghouls managed to get to the shields, slamming into them with enough force that the men holding them up nearly toppled over. Private Arnold saw that the man in front of him was off balance and reacted quickly, dropping to one knee and giving the shield bearer some support. After a subtle nod from the soldier that he was steady again, Arnold rose to his feet and continued firing at point-blank range. Bullets ripped through the skulls of zombies at a rapid pace, dropping them to the ground and giving the soldiers a clear shot to take down the ones behind them. After several violent moments, Stewart yelled out to stop firing, ushering in an eerie calm to the street. The soldiers continued standing at the ready, sweeping the entire street for threats. The only movement that remained were the couple of zombies at the front of the store who were wholly uninterested in them. Move up and take care of the stragglers. Make sure our men inside are stable, then lock them up tight. Because we still have a lot of clearing to do, Stewart ordered. The soldiers nodded before moving to execute the orders. The only man who stayed behind was Private Arnold. Sarge, I'd like permission to stay on with your squad, Arnold requested. Permission granted. I need every fighter I can get right now, Stewart replied. Stewart trailed off as a panicked voice came over the radio on his hip. He had the volume turned down so it was impossible to understand what was being said, only that whoever was speaking was under duress. Christ, what now? Stewart muttered. He grabbed the radio and turned up the volume. The man's voice on the other end pleaded for help, but was still difficult to hear due to the gunfire coming over the line. What in the hell is going on up there? Stewart demanded. Before the man could respond, the faint sounds of gunshots echoed in the direction of the train yard. We need backup and need it now. The soldier shouted. Calm down, soldier. Where are you and what's your situation? Stewart asked. We're a mile south of the train yard, and we're getting overrun. Those things are everywhere, and we're taking gunfire. The soldier responded. Sit tight, soldier. Help is on the way, Stewart assured him. Please hurry, because I don't know. Oh God, watch the window. Watch the window. The man screamed. Stewart and Arnold listened helplessly as the gunfire intensified on the line before falling silent. The faint sounds of moaning could be heard before the communication was cut off entirely. That doesn't sound good, Sarge, Arnold said. No, it doesn't. Come on, Stewart replied. Stewart and Arnold rushed up to the others, who were busy checking out the survivors inside. When they saw the Sarge coming their way, every soldier filed outside, ready for their orders. Okay, men, our boys are getting their asses handed to them up by the train yard, and they need our help. Gunners, you're with me. Shield bearers, get any able-bodied person you can find and secure this sector. Time is not on our side, so move like you have a purpose, Stewart ordered. The men yelled out, Yes, Sarge, in unison, receiving a nod from Stewart in response. Come on, let's go show the militia that they picked the wrong fight. The end.